This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Presented by Progressive Insurance, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in for the guys. And the big news today is that KD and the Nets are going to run it back. The Nets put out a statement on social media, which is how basically everything's done. But it is important to note that it was a joint statement that was released by GM Sean Marks. Remember, the same Sean Marks that Kevin Durant, according to some reports, wanted fired. That statement stresses that Steve Nash and I, together with Josiah and Claire Wusai, met with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman in Los Angeles yesterday. We've agreed to move forward with our partnership. We are focusing on basketball with one collective goal in mind: build a lasting franchise to bring a championship to Brooklyn. So for months and hours of content every day of where's he going to go, what's he going to do, what's it going to mean, turns out he ain't going anywhere, and it means nothing. He's running it back with Brooklyn. What does that mean for the Nets and for KD this year? We've asked you guys to try and chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Harry, has anything changed in your opinion? Are you still squarely in the it-is-what-it-is sort of category with it? Like, where are you on the Nets now? We've had a couple hours.
Before I tell the listeners that, Fitz, what hour is this?
Oh, my God. You know what? I failed you. I failed. We talked about this, Harry. You have to tell me. What time is it, Harry?
It's the power hour.
Wow. You know, I thought it was... I thought that was going to have like a big... Like,
I was literally waving it at you to like you tee me up.
I saw you playing around with it and I was like, what is he? He's playing around with the mallet. He's going to hit the gong and, you know...
I put the gong in front of my face so you can see it and everything.
I looked, I was like, why is he blocking his face? You know, let's just try the whole thing again. Like, here, grab the gong again. We're going to go like... It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. Oh, Harry, I think we all know what time it is. What hour is this?
It's the power hour!
Nailed it this time. I really felt like I brought my energy to it. It was a good gong hit.
There we
it was
go.
A good
go.
You should keep the gong for the callers in case we really dislike one. You could just gong them off like the old TV show, the gong show.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Mean-spirited, but, you know, still fun. Let's go to Bruce in Virginia. Bruce, now that I butchered the whole beginning of the hour, it's up to you to save the entire show. There's no pressure, Bruce. What's on your mind, buddy? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, look, what's up, guys? Y'all have gotten the right caller for the kickoff the power hour. It's Bruce representing 106.1 in Richmond, Virginia. I'm going to piggyback on Herb Thompson's comment about my Philadelphia 76ers. We all knew KD was coming back to Brooklyn, but let me keep it straight 100, triple 100 as a matter of fact. Philly has got, as your show says, it's not about how hard you get hit. It's about can you come back? Philly will be back this year. The adding of Milton, the adding of Joel Embiid getting ready for a whole season. Embiid is here to show and prove. You took that MVP from him last year. We coming back strong. We winning a chip. Out West, don't be surprised if you see the Pelicans playing against the 76ers in the chip. We winning a chip this year. As my man Bart Scott would say, I'm so hooked to the NBA. I watched game 11 of the 2021 season with Charlotte Hornets and the Lakers last night. I can't wait, as Bob Scott would say. Let me tell y'all something. Philly winning the chip. Nighty night. Holla. Peace.
Ooh, now listen, I can't argue with anything that you said. The only thing I'm going to argue is that we got to be patient. Now, I do believe the Philadelphia 76ers are going to be better this year with the additions that they had. I think the most underrated addition to me is P.J. Tucker because you add that sense of defense, that sense of toughness. He's very familiar with Daryl Morey. Also, he's familiar with a James Harden. So the chemistry right there with those guys. And he's also a guy that's not going to demand the basketball. You look at a guy like Tobias Harris, I think he's going to have to step up a lot more this year. James Harden being able to work out this offseason, be in shape coming into this season. And I agree with you. Joel Embiid, in my eyes, got robbed of the MVP award. I thought he was the most valuable player in the National Basketball Association last year. But here's my only thing for the 76ers. when Embiid goes out of the game, can Paul Reed do enough for that team to sustain and give Embiid enough rest that he properly needs? That was one of the biggest factors last year, including that bench that wasn't so well down the stretch. Now, that's why they went and made a lot of moves for people like Daniel House Jr., but DeAnthony Melton, a P.J. Tucker. He's not going to come off the bench, P.J. Tucker, but you added pieces to that bench to give you some instant scoring. So I do believe they're going to be better and they're going to be in the thick of things, but you also got to be faced with the Milwaukee Bucks, the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat defensively. We all know what they can be. And the Brooklyn Nets now with Kevin Durant being able to come back and Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons, those three guys being paired together.
How mad on a scale of 1 to 10 right now do you think Amber Wilson is at all these conversations that don't even involve the Miami Heat? Amber doing great work on ESPN Radio all the time. And, you know, she's our resident Heat fan. And I just hear the blatant disrespect in her voice. Also, Harry, what year were you born?
84.
Okay. So that means in your lifetime, the Sixers have never won an NBA championship. Like, the last one was in 83, right? So I'm just saying, like, I hear you. I'm really high on Philly. But at some point, you know, just Philly's in the conversation. That's as much as I'm willing to say.
But can I touch on this? Because I thought he brought up another good point. Now, I don't think the New Orleans Pelicans, they're going to make the NBA championship next year. But a lot of teams better watch out for them. You have a healthy Zion Williamson coming back. I love the draft pick in Dyson Daniels, a guy that can play point guard, that can guard different positions because of his size. He can knock down open shots. But you have a guy in Brandon Ingram who showed up tremendously in that playoff series against the Phoenix Suns. And they took the Suns to actually six games in that series. Valanciunas, CJ McCollum, I think his leadership and being with Zion is going to help out tremendously. But when you look at a guy like Zion, right, and you look at what's around him, when you talk about CJ, Brandon Ingram, Valanciunas, yes, he's going to have pressure on him to perform, but you don't have to put pressure on him to be amazing every single night because you have pieces around him that can take some of that pressure off of him.
I would say this. If they want to go to the Western Conference, if they want to go to the NBA Finals, that's cool. It's just going to be a road trip because they're going to go watch it in Memphis where the Grizzlies are playing. That's about as close as they're going to get to the Western Conference Finals. I'm all in on Memphis. Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio. We're breaking down some of the KD news as it happens right now. Donovan in Virginia, you better keep that same energy. Like, Donovan, it's firing so far. Bring it, buddy. What you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, no problem, man. Hey, I'm going to give you the perspective of a hooper, man. I'm a real hooper. I do at least one Euro step a day just playing around, man. You know what the Nets organization is saying? I got a 6'10 point guard that's an elite defender. I got a shooting guard, Kyrie, that nobody can check one-on-one. And I got Kevin Durant. Y'all know who he is. And I got Steve Nash, a point guard that's the head coach that orchestrated one of the greatest offenses in the history of the NBA. Y'all had Quentin Richardson up there earlier. Stop playing. KD, you asking for a trade after 1 year, and y'all wanted us to get stop playing, man. Stop playing, because my Lakers going through the same thing, man. We got all this talent, and y'all trying to break it up, man.
I think we lost him.
He broke up there, but listen, there's no question about the Brooklyn Nets and the talent aspect of things. But when you look at can this team be healthy, I think that those are the questions. Can they be available to be out there an entire season and make a run? And that was the case last year with this team. They didn't have the continuity. They weren't able to gel together. They didn't have the chemistry. And when it came to playoff basketball team time, you've seen a team that they were facing in the Boston Celtics who had everything that the Brooklyn Nets did not have. Can this team, for enough games this year, build that chemistry, find that camaraderie, be able to, in tough moments, count on one another and not falter apart and be a force next year in the NBA playoffs? I think they can, but it has to be done versus being said.
Yeah, I think that's the craziest part that we all have to remember right now with the NBA. Part of the joy of the NBA is that the summer before the season, everybody feels great. It's even, I think NBA fans get even higher on their teams than NFL fans do before the season. But it wasn't that long ago we were convinced that the Lakers and the Nets were going to be meeting in the NBA Finals year in and year out. And what did we end up with instead, right? So one of the best things right now about the NBA for me as a fan is that there is so much talent spread to so many places that that there are teams all over that can make a run, make a push, and have a shot. So I love the concept of a Philly versus Memphis final. I love the concept of something random happening in all of it, but I love the concept of how spread out the talent is. So, you know, everybody can be fired up for right now. It's just maybe let's just pump the brakes a little bit. It is, after all, August. August means, by the way, we're usually talking NFL. We're in the thick of the preseason, and in 30 seconds, we'll go from the NBA to the NFL. Field Yates going to join us, but first, Harry, you going to tell him about O'Reilly? O'Reilly?
Auto parts.
Ow!
A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car and your budget. Make sure your vehicle is ready for summer driving by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, Harry, I'd like to point out the fact that so far I haven't asked every single person on every single show that I've done throughout the course of the summer about my beloved Raiders and their chances at the Super Bowl. I've shown some professionalism. I just have to remind people of that now, because if this season goes the way I hope it goes, I'm going to be worse and worse. I'm going to be just insufferable in the halls. Even worse.
Tom Brady.
I've never heard of him. Here he's a quarterback, though. People were real fired up about that. Let's get thoughts on all things NFL from our buddy Field Yates joining us now on Barton Hahn. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in for the guys. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Field, ESPN NFL insider extraordinaire. Always appreciate you hanging out with us. What at some point, with all the conversation about Tom Brady being away from the Buccaneers and now coming back, as we go into the regular season, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big a deal should we be making it?
You know, Fitz, first of all, great to be on with you guys. Always fun. And you guys are doing a great job, as expected, filling in for Barton Hahn. You know, it's one of those where it's hard to assign a specific number because we don't know much about the nature of why Tom Brady was absent. That being said, it's, I don't know about unprecedented, but it's extremely uncommon for a player to just be away from the team for 11 days during the middle of training camp. And I don't think that Brady is going to be that much worse for the wear. That being said, this Buccaneers team has dealt with probably, it feels like maybe more adversity in this offseason than it did during either of Brady's first two seasons in Tampa Bay, maybe even combined, right? You've got multiple offensive linemen injuries. Chris Godwin is still coming back from an ACL tear. Gronk retired. I'm not saying the Bucs can't win a lot of games and can't win the Super Bowl. Of course they can, especially because they have Brady as their quarterback. But this team, over the past couple of years, felt more like a wagon than it feels like right now.
Yeah, Phil, when you look at those injuries sustained by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line, now, when I look at a guy like Tom Brady, he's going to understand that circumstances have changed, and I do believe that they're going to adapt accordingly, not just Tom Brady, but offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich. Tom Brady was second last year in getting the football out quick, and I think this year he might be first. I think there are going to be times where they're going to have to max protect and hold everybody in and only send two people out in routes. But looking at this team and how it's built and how it's constructed right now, do you see that being an issue down the line when you come to week, I'll say, 10, week 11, week 12?
Mm. Yeah, Harry, up until you got to that last caveat in the question, I think I was heading down a different path, because I think the Bucs in an average week are going to be very, very good and able to probably win many games this year. 10, 11, 12, 13 games would not surprise me. But ultimately for the Buccaneers, this is not about making a nice run in the NFC South. This is about whether or not this team, as currently constructed, is a Super Bowl favorite. I still think they can win the Super Bowl. I want to be very clear there, but when you start to have this pile of injuries that they've already sustained multiplied by other things that will happen during the course of the season, and the fact that the competition will be the stiffest once you get into January and the playoffs, I think it is a fair point to bring up. So we'll see how the offensive line holds up. And I do know that, as you said, Brady is going to be as good as there is in terms of getting the football out precisely and quickly and doing so it probably faster than any other quarterback in the league. I guess just as we get into the season, there are a few more questions about the Buccaneers than we've had in each of the past 2 years. And it feels like there is maybe more certainty about some of the other top teams that are around in the NFC, led by the defending Super Bowl champion Rams.
Okay, Field, we're talking to Field Yates, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. I'm going to ask you the dreaded two-part question. I know we're never supposed to ask two-part questions, but I'm going to ask you a two-part question. You just mentioned the offensive line, which is all we're talking about. Put your NFL sort of scout mindset on. Why are so many teams struggling at the offensive line position, particularly right now? And the other part of that is, did the Bengals really show a game plan of a way to win without an effective offensive line?
They did not. That second part, I think, is easy. I'm not saying the Bengals' offensive line was the best in the NFL last year, but they had a couple of pieces that I thought played effective enough to get them close to where they wanted to be. But I just think that ultimately sustained success is probably a lot more achievable when you have a dominant force along the offensive line and along the defensive line. As far as why there feels like there are so many teams that are dealing with offensive line injuries, Fitz, this is like an 8-, 9-, 10-year problem now, and it's hard to pinpoint the specific roots of why offensive line play in the NFL has been bad. But one theory that's been tossed around to me, and it's been mentioned in scouting circles, is that so much of the college football game right now, these spread offenses where offensive linemen get to the NFL and some of them have never played in a three-point stance. That's like as fundamental to the position as throwing the football is to a quarterback. And these offensive linemen have only played in a two-point stance. They haven't had to put their hand in the dirt. And when they're getting to the NFL, I've had coaches tell me this. Before we can coach our rookies up on what we want them to do, we have to uncoach them of all the habits that they have already learned during their college years that we have to get rid of. So it's a very, very bizarre two-step process that teams are having to follow. And as a result of that, you're seeing that not only is there a lot of attrition, there's just not that many guys that are staying at the top of their game for that long.
That's a great point, Phil. That's the downside of being in these spread offenses in college, where you're looking to the sideline for signs and signals and not being able to put your hand in your dirt and not having that physical presence or saying, you know what, we're gonna rush the football, and everybody want to throw the ball around and go east and west, not per se north and south all the time. But I want to ask you about a quarterback in the National Football League. And we had somebody, we don't know who that somebody is because he's unknown, that say, you know, Patrick Mahomes is, doesn't like to stay in the pocket, likes to get out of the pocket. But when I watched a preseason game recently and his first one, he did a hell of a job. It extended a lot of plays, off-scripted plays. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, are there any concerns in your eyes with them this year that Tyreek Hill is not on their roster?
We were just having the conversation about what the Bucs' offensive line woes mean for them, and I kind of wonder if it's the same thing for Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs. Is that, like, do I worry about them throughout the course of the regular season? Not that much, but maybe they're playing a team that's got a dominant defense late in the year with something on the line, or maybe they're playing someone in the playoffs with a really good defense, and that's where you get worried. Maybe they're playing against the Buffalo Bills, and over the next, you'll have a two-touchdown deficit, and the Bills are really good on offense, and you have to score in a hurry if you're the Chiefs, or playing against the Bengals, the same deal. Playing against Fitz's Raiders, same deal. That's where I think it could matter, is that you're a little bit less explosive on offense, and Tyreek Hill could not only score, on really any play, but I would always urge people to think about that, all things being equal, like a 75-yard touchdown pass can just deflate the mindset of a defense much more than like a sustained drive by the offense where they had to earn every single yard. So I think the Chiefs are going to be fine. I think Tyreek Hill will be missed, but I also think that this is more of, I'll be honest with you, like, I think that, like, the Tyreek Hill trade made sense for me at the time. Like, I get why the Chiefs had to do it, but, like, I'm not overly concerned about the Chiefs' ability to pick things back up and keep going. But I also think Miami got a lot better. So there are possibilities for a team to be win-win.
field, has there been anything you've seen in the preseason so far that has made you say, huh, I didn't see that coming?
No, not a lot. And the reason why I say that is this. I've learned over the years to judge certain things in a certain way during the preseason. There have been guys that have been stars. There are guys that have been bums. And then the regular season begins, and everything changes, right? I mean, every single year we see examples of it. So what I'm trying to do is not necessarily have sweeping judgments, but just use this information as reference points so that if in week six, Romeo Doubs for the Packers has 30 catches through his first six games, I can say to myself, all right, all that preseason stuff was relevant. But if in week six, Romeo Doubs is playing 20% of the snaps, I can say, good reminder, not everything that we see in preseason plays out during the regular season. So nothing has taken place that has really dramatically changed my mind on things. Generally speaking, I like to think of it more as things that confirm what I already believed coming into the season.
So it's been confirmed that the Raiders are winning the Super Bowl, right? Field, no time to answer that question. Thanks so much for hanging out. We appreciate you as always, Field. Thanks for the brilliance and the you know, sometimes keeping us at bay is good. So we appreciate you, my friend.
No problem, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Notice he didn't answer no to the Raiders winning the Super Bowl, Harry. So
because you
like
didn't give him a chance. You said no time to answer that question.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. That was Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider. As much as I wish we could just sit here and continue to talk about the Raiders and why they're winning the Super Bowl, there was one player last night in the Jets-Falcons game that I actually wrote for the .com you should put your money on. I'll tell you why next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, in for the guys. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, and ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Saw an interesting note across Twitter regarding the sale of the Angels, as you just heard Christine Lisi mentioned that they are exploring the sale. What's funny is in 2003, Disney sold them for $200 million. They're worth $2.5 billion now. Rare that Disney makes a bad decision on something like that, but whatever they got out of profit out of that $200 million, I'm sure they wish they had the $2.5 billion now. So, you know, speaking of money and making a little,
free Ohtani, free Mike Trout.
I mean, please. You're not wrong. Like those are going to be immediate questions, right? Like, are you going to get new ownership that changes the direction, or are you going to get people brought in that suddenly just start freeing all these players and start over from scratch? Is a new ownership going to love the Anaheim, or are they going to want to be somewhere different? Like, there's a million questions that a sale brings up, Harry. But one thing you can't deny about it is profitability. And I mention profitability because Harry Douglas knows this. When I get the opportunity to look at any sort of gambling issues, what I like to do when it comes to gambling odds is talk to experts. So I'm getting to write this year for the .com, ESPN.com, for our chalk site. I'll be writing a Tuesday column about bad beats over the weekend of college football and the NFL. But we did an NFL panel where we took a look at some prop bets, over-unders, and they asked if any stood out to me. And there was one prop bet that absolutely blew my mind. And I found myself calling Harry Douglas. I said, Harry, I need some insight here because Marcus Mariota was only, the over-under had him at about 2,200 yards for the season. Now, the only way Marcus Mariota is not eclipsing 2,200 yards is if he doesn't start all year. So I called Harry Douglas right away and said, am I losing my damn mind? So I was wildly happy last night to watch and see a very controlled, presence-filled Marcus Mariota behind center, knew what he wanted to do with the ball in an Arthur Smith offense that he knows well. Harry, I feel even better. I wrote, take the over, hammer the over. I feel even better about it after watching that game last night.
Yeah, when you look at a guy like Marcus Mariota, who is getting a second chance, right, to be a starter, and what better way and to be in a situation where you have a head coach that you already played for in Tennessee when he was the offensive coordinator. You have a head up on the system that he's running as well. You're very familiar with that. Not to mention you're a dual threat quarterback, and being a dual threat quarterback is very, very important because Atlanta since 2008, they had Matt Ryan at quarterback, and Matt Ryan, has been phenomenal for that organization. Me and him got drafted the same year to the Falcons in 2008. But one of the knocks on Matt Ryan is that he isn't a mobile guy, right? So when the offensive line wasn't holding up to their standards and he was sitting back there, he couldn't escape the sacks that were coming, or defensive players. You have a guy like Marcus Mariota who can do that, and also you can create a lot of off-scripted plays, a lot of scramble drill, what we call it. You look at the backup as well, Desmond Ridder. I'm a big fan of having your backup quarterback similar to your starting quarterback, so you do not have to abort mission or change your offense if one of those guys goes down. But I'm looking at the game last night and the first preseason game of the Falcons, I'm looking at Marcus Mariota, and I'm seeing how comfortable he is. And when you have a unicorn at the tight end position in Kyle Pitts, who is a matchup nightmare, and he runs a go route, right, against a corner, and he's in a tight end's body but moving like a wide receiver, and you throw a go route, but then you come back and you have the tight end on a rail route down the sideline and you hit him. I got to give credit also to Arthur Smith because he is a dynamic play caller. He understands situations, and at one point, he coached on the defensive side of the ball, so that gives him a leg up to understand, okay, the defense is trying to do A, B, C, or D, so let me go here. He's going to put Marcus in the best situation possible to be successful. Now, 2,200 yards fits, that's embarrassing to me. To sit up here and say that a starting quarterback in the National Football League cannot pass for over 2,200 yards when he has one of the best tight ends in the National Football League, even though he's going into his second year, Kyle Pitts, that is. But they also drafted a guy named Drake London, even though Drake didn't play last night. I was able to work with this team in spring and do a coaching internship, and the ability to be able to get open at the top of routes that Drake London has, I haven't seen before. Especially from a player that young. He just has a natural ability. He's big. He has a decent amount of speed to be able to get open. He can catch the jump balls. But you also see the Falcons made a trade for a guy in Bryan Edwards from the Las Vegas Raiders at this offseason. And then you have Anthony Firkser, who was with Arthur Smith in Tennessee at the tight end position. So I believe they have pieces, but here's what people aren't paying attention to. They have a few running backs in their room, and Cordell Patterson and Damian Williams, that you can line up outside and let those guys be effective in the pass game. So teams and defenses, they're going to have to account for that as well. So you can literally go 22 personnel. That's two backs, two tight ends, one wide receiver. That's Damian Williams, Cordell Patterson, Kyle Pitts, Anthony Firkser, and Drake London, and go five wide and spread everyone out and just pick your matchups. I think that's an advantage that the Atlanta Falcons can have in Arthur Smith in this offense along with Marcus Mariota.
Everything you're saying makes total sense, right? And we talked earlier about why maybe Baker Mayfield isn't going into the best situation. I would argue that Marcus is going into a pretty good situation. There's an understanding of where that team is right now in the rebuild process. Kyle Pitts is, to your point, as you mentioned, the tight end is something that he's really comfortable working with, right? So now you have a dynamic tight end that works to what you're comfortable doing. If you're Marcus, they're going to give him the freedom to run around and be athletic. And remember, even though Marcus hasn't been a full-time starter, when he came in relief for Derek Carr, he looked really good. The knock on Marcus has 90% of the knock on Marcus
health.
Has been health, right? And nobody knows on that aspect of it. Certainly nobody knows. But what we do know is that he never has a chance to be healthier than he is right now. And he goes into an offense that he knows right now with a couple of dynamic weapons. And your Drake London point, I can't stress this enough to people in fantasy leagues looking at guys to draft. Go draft Drake London. He's not yes. going to be good. He's going to be great. And, you know, there were people at USC that were making a hard push for him to get consideration for the Lytnikoff Award that goes to the best wide receiver in the country, even though he was injured and missed a bunch of the season because his numbers were so good when he was in. Man, I don't think the Falcons are a very good football team yet, but I think the Falcons are at least building the right pieces around, and they did the smart thing with Marcus. They took a flyer on a quarterback that, if he's suddenly healthy, can have a second chapter to his career that sustains you while you build around him. If he's not, you got a quick flyer on a veteran that has never shied away from helping the other guys in the room be better players. Like, I think we're underselling what Marcus is going
to
do this year.
And listen, I got to give credit to a guy like Kyle Pitts, because last year, listen, the knock on Pitts was, okay, when he's in the game, we know they're going to throw the football. He took it amongst himself this offseason to get stronger and be more committed to the run game. And just watching him in that instance, and he's a lot stronger. He's a lot faster. He's a year within the system, so he's playing fast, playing physical. Now teams aren't going to be able to have a beat on what the Falcons are doing because he is committed to being not just a pass-catching tight end, but a tight end that you can put at the point of attack and block defensive end and defensive players.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see some of the bad teams that are better than we think, and I think the Falcons could definitely be on that list. But also, shamelessly, go out, check out .com. There's a cool article out on Chalk about some of the over-unders and what to expect. I'm happy to be a part of that panel. In the meantime, Game 2 of the Subway Series is tonight. Is Brian Cashman starting to feel a little heat? I know Harry is heated up about it. We'll tell you about it next. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
ESPN Radio, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, sitting in for the guys. KD sticking with the Nets. That's the big news we get. They're working it out. They're going to move forward. We've been asking you guys what you think of it. What's it mean to you? Where are you on it all now? Jason in Kentucky, man, hanging on. We really appreciate it, Jason. What you got? Thanks for calling the show.
There's no franchise tag in the NBA. Kevin Durant chose his location. So, I'm sorry, I'm thrilled that ownership has said, no, we're going to run it back like it is. I mean, heaven forbid you have children that are fans of a franchise. There's no loyalty in Kevin Durant. Make him stay there. I'm sorry, I know that's not going to be a popular opinion, but that's I'm thankful. I like when players are with teams.
Jason, thanks for the call. Go ahead, Harry. What you got?
Well, yeah, and I will tell him this. When he said there's no loyalty, the first thing I was taught when I got drafted by the Atlanta Falcons, and just general about the business, not just the team but per se, but the overall business. This is a dirty business. They don't trust anyone within the business. So when people say there's no loyalty or trust when it comes to the players in that side, players feel the same thing about the organizations. Trust me. And it's hands down. And if you have a great coach or a good coach or good mentors, they'll tell them the same. They'll tell y'all the same exact thing when it comes to the nature of professional sports. Because sometimes you get in a position where you don't know who you can trust. Because a owner or a GM or a head coach may say one thing, but they may do another thing. Now, I will say this when it comes to Kevin Durant. He is under contract for 4 years. In my eyes, if the Brooklyn Nets would have traded him this year with 4 years left, I would have been scratching my head. Like, I can see if it was 1 year left on his deal, 2 years left on his deal, you want to try to move him and trade him or whatnot. But 4 years that he signed up for, oh, no, I need at least one of those from you, boss. We got to have it.
I don't disagree with Jason's concept, and I love the fact that a player is being held accountable. But, Harry, to your point, I think what we forget is fans. A lot of people listening are fans, like I am. What you forget is that it's a business for everybody playing. And so for every single player, they view themselves as an entrepreneur. They are their own small business. And for every single team, they are their own big business, right? So this is not about loyalty to anybody. It's about getting the best deal you can and then trying to continually rework your contract. So players are no different than people that own businesses that, you know, sell T-shirts to Walmart. You want to get the best rate you possibly can every single second. So I love the concept of loyalty. I just think we forget the business rules more than that. We're continuing the conversation now. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Last 10 games, longest homerless streak this year, hitting 129. Driven to deep right field. Marte back, turning, looking. See ya. There's the home run. Number 47 in the Yankees lead 2-0.
Yes Network on the call. They led 2-0. They won 4-2. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, Harry Douglas played for the Atlanta Falcons. I'll let you infer whatever you'd like from that about what his favorite teams might be. But, Harry, I know you are wildly excited about the way at least one game in this Subway Series has gone so far.
Yes. So yesterday, you know, the New York Yankees, they beat the Mets. Max Scherzer was pitching, and I just love seeing Max Scherzer only strike out three batters, give up four earned runs, and give up seven hits. Because, see, my Braves right now, currently as things are constructed, are three behind of the New York Mets in the NL East. And there's a second game of that Subway Series tonight. And DeGrom is not pitching. So I need the Yankees to come through for me. And the Braves play the Pirates, and the Braves to win tonight. So that lead that the Mets have in NL East can only be two games. And as long as the Mets keep allowing the Braves to float around, right, tread water, keep your head above water, they're going to be in danger.
You are all in on the way that this will impact the Atlanta Braves, which I think is amazing. Also, I don't know if you saw this floating around on Twitter, but like, just if you ever need a reminder of how far technology has come, somebody tweeted out the 1998 intro from Fox for the game at the time for the Subway Series, and you realize that people now are doing better, like children are doing better videos on their phones. But I keep telling everybody, it's the old guy in the room. I'm like, wait a minute, technology was tougher back then. But there are at least going to be some yells and screams about the Yankees and where they're going. Brian Cashman, Yankees GM, has made it clear that for all the yelling and screaming, he still believes in this team.
Group's got my belief. I believe strongly in them. I think they're still capable of everything we ever hoped and dreamed. And but we have to weather this storm first and foremost. Yesterday was a nice win, but we need to string together obviously a lot as we move forward here and earn our playoff spot and then take our shot.
I mean, that it's a good concept on paper. I understand why you believe in the team. But when the wheels just fall off in the middle of the season, it's hard to just turn that around. Like, you know this, and we've talked about it before. Like, momentum is one of the most difficult things to accomplish in anything in life, and one of the easiest things to lose. And when you lost it, how do you get it back? Like, it's not as simple as just stringing together a win or two. If you're the Yankees, the wheels have gone off on this thing. You've got to figure out how to right the ship because the expectations are so high.
Yeah, and I think a few things that have decimated the Yankees. Now, after the All-Star break, you look at 30 games, right? They were 10-20. Not the way you kind of want to start off your second half of the season, but it is what it is. I think when you look at Cashman, you look at all the trades that he make, you talk about Frankie Montas, Andrew Benintendi, Harrison Bader, Trevino, all these guys. I think the chemistry a little bit for the team has been messed with, and those guys are going to have to redefine it and figure their way. Also, you talk about a slew of injuries that the Yankees had, from Clay Holmes to Matt Carpenter, Giancarlo Stanton. At some point, when you're able to get these guys back, I think they're going to be fine, but pitching hasn't been as good as well, right? But I think at the end of the day, thank goodness for Aaron Judge yesterday hitting his 47th home run, and Andrew Benintendi doing what he did, because the Yankees actually got that win, and they won two in a row, right? They beat the Blue Jays the game before that. They beat the Mets in the Subway Series. If we can get them, and I say we because I need them to win tonight for my Braves purposes, if we can get them to show up again tonight and do what they need to do, I'm going to be happy. Yankee fans are going to be happy. The Bronx is going to be rocking and socking and jocking and popping all night long. All night long.
I'm not going to interrupt that, Matt. I mean, he's preaching. You're preaching right now.
I'm
now,
excited.
Yesterday, my co-host, Braden Gall, is a big Mets fan, and he went through his process as a tortured Mets fan of not watching. He's now convinced when he doesn't watch the games, they do better. So he's in the I don't watch the game category. For you, when you're watching the Braves, is there like a weird, you know, because now we're talking just straight Harry Douglas, the fan. Does anything change in the way you're watching because you're watching from a fan's eye?
I was upset the other day, like, during the series that the Braves played against the Mets. I'm trying to remember the pitcher that was on the mound, but it was game three of that series, and the Braves had won the first two. They ended up winning 3 or 4, but the one game they lost, Max Scherzer was pitching, and I can't remember who was on the mound for the Braves, and he gave up two runs in the first inning. And Marte had hit a home run to start off, leading off to start off the game. And I threw so many things in my bedroom because I was like, get this clown off the mound. Disrespecting the Braves lineup in this organization. You have a chance to move closer and closer to winning the NL East. So I am a fan. when I'm watching the Braves. And sometimes I say words that I should not be saying, but damn it, that's the point of me being a fan. I can't just be an analyst all the time. I need to enjoy my fandom when the Braves win, because let's not forget who are the defending World Series champions, because see, a lot of people tend to forget that. We want to talk about the Dodgers. We want to talk about the Astros. Do not forget who won the World Series last year. And I know they didn't get that much coverage, but that's why me, myself, Harry Douglas, is here from Atlanta, from the South, to make sure the Atlanta Braves get the credit that they deserve.
Did you buy Braves World Series gear, or is Harry Douglas just so hooked up in Atlanta that they just sent you boxes of it?
Yeah, I got it sent to me. So
yeah, that's what I thought. You know, there's no doubt about that. Look, y'all, I've sat in a, I think my favorite thing about sitting on Saturdays, hanging out with Harry Douglas, watching college football when we work together, is watching the way he watches games for teams he loves. You ain't lived till you've sat next to Harry Douglas and watched him watch a Louisville game. Like, it is a, and I thought I was bad during Raiders games. Woo! All I know is that's fired up. Fired up is what Amber Wilson and Drew Carter are going to be. By the way, Amber Wilson texted me earlier. She said the Heat disrespect was at a level of 10 on this show. So she's gonna have something to say. Plus, former Panthers quarterback Jake Delhomme joins the show to talk about Baker Mayfield winning that job. Thanks for hanging out with Bart and Hahn and Harry Douglas. Jason Fitz in for the guys.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.